Hello everyone, I'm George from Ireland. Well, thank you for coming back to my channel. And this is my plea to say the United Kingdom should take refugees from Gaza. The Palestinians have suffered just unbelievably since the 7th of October. Tens of thousands of civilians willfully murdered by the IDF, being shot, being blown up, sometimes buried alive by the explosions, caught in place they couldn't escape from, rather, burned to death. It's just heartbreaking, the horrific scenes day by day. People who've died of starvation, people who died from lack of medicine, from the lack of clean water, maybe soon lack of shelter. It's just indescribably horrific. And these are people who really, really do need asylum. And it's not like, in Ukraine, when they're given even sort of helmets or flak jackets by the rest of the world, or at least Ukrainians have enough to eat, humanitarian aid. The Ukrainians have a chance to escape. They've got borders with several safe countries. Hundreds of thousands of, well, actually, I think a few million of them have left the country and found safe havens abroad. And I'm glad that that's the case. But the Palestinians, very, very few million allowed out. About 2.2 million people in Gaza at the beginning, and only about 100,000 allowed out, mostly because they're dual nationals. And the rest trapped, and their suffering is just must be unbearable to go through a war for just so long and scarcely sleep, being terrorized night and day, going from this place to that place, scarcely a building left standing, no shade in the brutally harsh sunlight of high summer, and in winter there'll be no shelter from the wind and the rain and the cold. Wow. No wonder there's stampedes when food is handed out because they're fighting for survival. This is just the most egregious satanic sadism by Israel. So the United Kingdom is partly indirectly responsible for this with the Balfour Declaration. You might think it's the right thing to have done, maybe you think it's the wrong thing to have done. It certainly wasn't good for the Palestinians. And that bit about the establishment of a Jewish national home without prejudice to the rights of the existing communities, as in it wasn't going to deprive the Palestinians of their rights. Well, that's it turned out very much to do so. And partly because of Al-Nakba, and the Israel was created in 1948 by the United Nations. Many countries, I think the United Kingdom was actually neutral in that final vote, but were it not for the Balfour Declaration, is very, very unlikely that the state of Israel would have been established, or as Zionists may prefer to say, re-established in 1948. Certainly in that place that people had canvassed around the world, Madagascar, Uganda, anywhere like that. I know the original idea of the Balfour Declaration, it might have been a dominion of the British Empire or something like that, rather than a fully independent country. So it was certainly bad for the Palestinians, and the United Kingdom has often sold weapons to Israel. And even now, even though there's a Labour government still selling armaments to Israel. Now, I know Israel's got a very formidable military manufacturing sector, Israeli Military Industries, IMI. So the United Kingdom sells only a token amount to them. Apparently, the Zionist entity, as Palestinians used to call it, purchases weaponry from the United Kingdom, partly just to keep the British sweet, not because they really need it or value it or anything like that. But part of a sort of military diplomacy. But it would be at least be symbolic support the Palestinians, at least morally, would that do anything? It might even save just a single life, and that's worth doing. But the United Kingdom has taken in hundreds of thousands of refugees over the last 2 decades. And some of them are bogus. Some of them don't come to the countries they claim to come from. They do not suffer persecution or whatever. They're lying about it, or there was a danger, the dangerous past, they could go home or whatever. But the Palestinians really do suffer danger. We know that tens of thousands of their civilians are being murdered, and the death toll is going up. And I use the word murdered advisedly. Okay, most killing in war is not murder. If you deliberately kill a combatant in combat, or even if he or she, your enemy soldier, is asleep at the time, when the bomb hits or the rocket hits, no, that's not murder. And inevitably, civilians are going to get killed in war. That is a bad thing. Militaries should do their utmost to minimize this. They can't avoid it entirely. You hit a legitimate military target, but some distance away, there's a civilian, and he or she also gets killed, and things like that. Or the fog of war, shooting someone you thought was military, but in fact is a civilian. But this is different. Knowing they're civilians and doing it on purpose, and the genocidal intent has been crystal clear in so many public utterances on the record by the President of Israel, by the Prime Minister of Israel, right at the beginning. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu saying that Amalek referencing the Old Testament, the Bible, when there was this enemy people of the Hebrews, and the Lord God commanded them to kill every single last woman, child, man, woman, child, and indeed beast of burden of these people. So that's it. This reference will have been recognized by every Jewish person, and many Christians too, or, you know, people dehumanizing them, saying that they're not even human, or I can't remember which cabinet minister said to separate the men from the women, and he said to kill every single man. Wow, that's genocidal. Okay, you let the women and children live, but that's still genocidal, and so on. Cutting off food, not even allowing incubators in for babies. How could that possibly benefit Hamas? What possible military application does an incubator have? Cutting off drinking water, as David Cameron let slip. They deliberately cut off drinking water a while, so people will either die of thirst or they'll drink contaminated water, and. So the United Kingdom should let some of these people in. I mean, it can't accommodate all 2.1 million people, even 1%. You know, Germany, Austria, somewhat responsible for this because of the Holocaust. That's why so many Jews fled to the Middle East. Republic of Ireland, obviously, we were part of the United Kingdom, time of the Balfour Declaration, the Hussein McMahon correspondence. Okay, so McMahon, an Irishman who was with the Killeen administration in India, and then the United Kingdom used to deal with the Middle East via India. He learned Arabic, going to the Middle East, and in correspondence with the leader of the Hashemites, that dynasty controlled Mecca and Medina, talking about would they recognize an independent Arabi and so forth, get Ireland, Dublin, take Gaza, asylum seeker, Eton College, why English taxpayer funder? It is. Well, partly because if the English taxpayer has benefited from the weapon sales to Israel, and I know this is, you know, some sort of responsibility a very long time ago, but if any nationality needs asylum, it is the Palestinians. And I would like many other countries to step up. And if the United Kingdom were to take some lead, it would lead to more people. And my heart nearly bursts with pride as an Irishman, Republic of Ireland, we have at least taken some very sick and wounded Palestinian children and cared for them. I only wish we could save more. And, you know, so they're in so much more danger than the Ukrainians. If you look at the death toll, civilian death toll in Gaza, it's even higher than in Ukraine. Bear in mind, the conflict in Gaza has been going not for even 2 years yet. In Ukraine, it's almost 3.5 years already. And another point, the population of Ukraine is about 40 million before the war began. Gaza was only 2 million. And, you know, Israel using Hamas as an excuse. Hamas is not even in the West Bank. And the Israelis have murdered hundreds of civilians. Hundreds of civilians. 200 children, over 200 children murdered by the IDF and the Israeli illegal immigrants in the West Bank since the 7th of October. Wow. Wow. The West Bank, which wasn't involved in the 7th of October attacks at all, every single day. Nonsense morality. It's not nonsense to oppose genocide, is it? Would you say that if it was your people who were suffering genocide? Okay. So anyway, so many deaths, so much cruelty, so much avoidable suffering. And it's very, very, how can I say, it's very dolorous to see all this. Such egregious cruelty. And of course, not all Israelis are bad and not all Palestinians are good. They're good and bad people of every ethnicity, of every nationality, of every religion. And why do people do this? They're blinded by rage and odium. War is based on hatred and upon fear of the other. And so fight or flight, have to wipe them out. That's the idea. So people so infuriated by their suffering, they want to hit back. I don't know which individual did it to my loved one. I know which side did it to my loved one. They're all bad. We'll get them. They're faceless. They're not human. They don't count. Their emotions, their suffering doesn't count. And obviously you get this all nationalities. I was thinking about this in the United Kingdom, anti-German bigotry has probably only just died out with that war generation dying off. And obviously not everybody's an adult in the 1940s was bigoted in the UK, was anti-German, even at the time. But that's obviously so long ago. But it's very, very sad that there has been so much totally unnecessary, avoidable suffering. Israel's gone far, far, far beyond what was justifiable to level Gaza just to make it uninhabitable. It's just been gratuitous cruelty they have visited on these long-suffering, largely defenseless people in Gaza. It's sickening. And, you know, the United Kingdom should have no part of it, could at least try and be part of the solution. And I wish many more countries would step up and take in Gaza civilians. Of course, they shouldn't lose their home. It's their homeland. They're the absolute right to be there. But sadly, taking them into other countries is the lesser of two evils than just the unbearable suffering they're going through. And to free all the hostages, Israeli or Palestinian, taking the 7th since the 7th of October, or indeed before. And this conflict did not begin on the 7th of October. It's been going on, in a sense, for a century, since large-scale Jewish immigration to Palestine against the wishes of the Palestinian people and attacks on either side. And I can't really say who started in the 1920s, but that doesn't necessarily make it right to carry on. It's very, very sad, the huge-scale terrorism committed by the IDF against Palestinian people. And of course, I denounce the crimes of Hamas too. But Hamas is not a significant factor, having largely been wiped out. You know, most days in Gaza, not a single Israeli soldier is killed. Not a single Israeli soldier is injured. Not a single Israeli civilian is killed or injured in Israel because of this, or in the West Bank. So, you know, it's more than 100 to 1, more than 100 Gazan civilians, not Hamas militants, 100 Gazan civilians killed for every Israeli soldier. So there is almost no threat to Israel from Hamas right now. Wow. So it's sickening. Peace now. It's very, very sad. You know, I'm a nobody. What else can I do? But surely we're morally obliged to do what little we can. Many of those asylum seekers I would kick out of the United Kingdom, I would kick out of the Republic of Ireland. But if anybody's got a right to, if anyone's got a need to it, it's surely the long-suffering people of Gaza and maybe even the West Bank too. And I wish many other countries would do this. I thought that some less developed country like Jordan, like Morocco, you know, like Tunisia, might agree to take in Palestinian civilians if they were paid by Israel. I mean, Israel has caused the problem, so they should have to pay the money, or the United Nations, or anyone. Anyway, do what you can to be compassionate, to try and save humanity.